We are going to be in Acts chapter 1, if you would turn there. And so far, to date, we have been looking at person of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the filling, the anointing, and last week, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And today, we're going to be looking at praying in the Spirit. Many times you guys have heard that, praying in the Spirit, and what it means. What does a person pray in the Spirit? And so we're going to look right at our text now, Acts 1, look, beginning in verse 12. It says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James." Verse 14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." As a kind of refresher, up to this point, the disciples had gone through some amazing trials, and no doubt their minds were blown by the accounts that had taken place, if you recall, especially just coming off of Resurrection Sunday. Jesus, remember, had been arrested and tried in 6 different courts and found not guilty, was then crucified in front of their very eyes. And then he had risen from the dead and he had made himself known to them. And now at this point, they have been instructed by Jesus to go back to Jerusalem and to wait for the Holy Spirit. How many times have you prayed and something you really wanted the Lord to give you just something on? A yes or no, maybe. And he made you wait. You wait. Waiting is the hardest thing. And Linda tells me that all the time. You are the slowest person when it comes to making a decision, those big decisions. I really take my time. I have to, because I'm not sure what the Lord wants. But they had been instructed by Jesus to go back to Jerusalem and to wait for the Holy Spirit. He doesn't tell them how long it will be, but they are just going to have to wait. How many of you know how hard it is? As I said in a minute earlier, just he tells you, wait. Mm-hmm. I want you to wait. I can remember explicitly an event, I won't go into it, but I knew that he said, wait, just wait. And I didn't adhere to what he was saying, and it cost me dearly. It almost cost me my life. But God, in his mercy and his grace, he's so gracious to us. He allows us to do stupid things, things that are not of him, and yet he waits for us to come back to him, doesn't he? See, this passage, well, some of us here today have been praying for years for situations or circumstances, and it's difficult to wait. Think about Lorelai having to wait another whole year. She had no idea what's going on, because it has to be the right thing that God has. And that's why we all can be at ease that she's not making a rash decision. We see it, and we're like, wow. I mean, even the insurance guy from Oklahoma sees it. You know, he's like... But this passage is very important because it gives us a bird's eye view of just exactly what the disciples had been doing for the previous 40 days after Jesus had appeared to them. He appears to them, he tells them, but I want you to wait. There's so much that we can share, but I'm going to hold off until one day when we actually go through the book of Acts again. But I do want us to see a couple of important things here today. Verse 13, "And when they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying." That's important for us. And then it lists all the apostles. Scholars deduct that this is the place that the disciples were staying at after the death and the resurrection of Jesus for those 40 days. They were all there staying in this. Can you imagine that? There's quite a few of them. And if you recall, they had traveled everywhere with him during those 3 years of his ministry. And now they are staying here at this room. No doubt they were missing Jesus. They had to be. It's going to kind of be like this room next Thursday, right? We're all going to be here. We're going to be missing someone. And so you can imagine they went everywhere with him. They saw him. They saw him do miracles. They saw him heal people. And now they're all together without him. Verse 14 says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers." Wow. There's so much that I want to share with them because of time. We're going to have to wait for another time. But we see here, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. They weren't sitting around complaining. They weren't sitting around saying, "Oh, why did he leave us? we're doomed. You know, like the old, what is that, Gulliver, that troll on Gulliver. I knew we shouldn't have came here today. They weren't doing that. They had continued what they had been doing for the past 40 days, and they were praying. And it's interesting to me that during this time that Jesus, or with Jesus, they had no doubt seen him do all that crazy stuff, all those crazy miracles, you know, even giving it to the Pharisees, right? You know, the disciples are sitting there going, ooh, he just called them whitewashed sepulchers. He just called them foxes. And that's not because they're pretty either. Yet the only thing that we ever hear them ask him during those times was for him to teach them to pray. If you're taking notes, Luke 11:1, it says, once when Jesus had been out praying, one of his disciples came to him as he finished and he said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. No doubt the disciples saw Jesus model a prayer life that was inexhaustible. Remember, he would go to the garden and he would walk with him. He'd come with me and let's pray. And he would tell him, you sit here. I'm going to go a little further and I'm going to pray. And what happens? He comes back and they're asleep. Like, couldn't you just tarry for 1 hour for prayer? But he had always connected with the Father, and they saw that. And one writer stated, and I believe that the disciples always saw the prayer life of Jesus, that they knew that praying was the answer. They saw him doing it. Think about that for a moment. They saw God praying. That's amazing. But how do they pray? You notice the verses don't say that Jesus told them to go and pray until the Holy Spirit comes. They just did. He didn't tell them. He just said, wait until the Holy Spirit comes, till the Helper comes. He didn't say, I want you to go and I want you to pray like this, right? Why do you suppose he didn't do that? Anyone? Thousands of ministries would have been based on that. This is how you pray. But he didn't tell them that. They just did it. And no doubt it had become a part of their lives now, especially because of the circumstances. How many of us, we seem to find plenty of time to pray when things are going bad, right? But when things are going good, we can actually go through a whole day, days, maybe weeks, before we realize, oh, Lord, I haven't spent any time with you. But when times are tough, we're right there. I mean, we'll even prostrate on the ground, right, to make sure that it counts, right? Or we'll pray a little louder, hoping that God hears it. But I need to ask this question. How has our prayer life been since before or after any hardship that we've had to endure? We're more prone to continually be in a state of prayer after a difficult circumstance comes our way. But if we're honest with ourselves, have you ever felt, I don't even know how to pray right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go through that. And it's neat because I sit there and I go, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. And then all of a sudden you're just quiet. And he starts bringing things to you. People you didn't even think of. And you're like, oh, I don't know why I'm thinking, well, he wants me to pray for them. I'll do that. And sometimes we may feel burdened in our prayers. And we just end up sending up whatever we do. We refer to those as popcorn prayers. Just pop this, that, you know, whatever. Whatever pops up in your mind, right? Or sometimes we can get too caught up in what I refer to as info prayers. You know, infomercials. You've seen those infomercials before. They're giving you information. And sometimes in a group setting, people will give info prayers regarding themselves rather than praying to God. See?
That reminds me of that comedian. Oh, Lord, yeah. We know such and such is pregnant. Yeah. We just pray that you would just help her.
Yeah. It's kind of like the gossip prayer, right? Lord, you know so-and-so is having a hard time with their finances. Lord, they need a job. Those are info prayers.
It might be a good idea to give an example of an info prayer because I think...
Needs.
I think sometimes... I may not even say this right, but...
Maybe finally it's time for you to get in trouble.
Well, I think sometimes we could put our needs out there and then... We've gone to the people for them to meet our needs.
Yes.
Instead of sometimes saying, you know what, I have a need in your prayer, but not the details.
Yeah.
Because it's so neat to see God answer a prayer that you didn't give anybody the details to.
Yeah.
But when you give the people the details, I need new tires, Lord. And then somebody, of course, you have all these wonderful people in the church, and they're going to go buy, somebody might have money and go buy a pair, set of tires. But that to me is info prayers where you get
yes.
details. But when God answers it and nobody knows the details,
yeah,
there's nothing like that.
Yeah. I can give you.
I'm sorry, I just kind of yeah. went on a tangent on
well,
that.
I love it.
We dealt with that a lot in Los Baños. Because people would, instead of, you know, coming to someone privately and letting them know, they would do it out in mass so that somebody would meet that need. Not God, but somebody. Well, we feel bad for them.
There
Let's do this.
There are times when you need
yes.
to go to people when you need
yeah.
help. But
yeah.
it's usually one-on-one.
Exactly.
So they can pray with you and stuff. That's different. There
because
are
if you,
exceptions.
Because then there's a difference between you seeing... Did the people meet the need or did God meet the need? Now, I understand God will meet the need through people, but you have to let him do that because he really knows what that person has need of. See, they may say, well, I need, you know, my PG&E paid and blah, 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 blah. God, I need money for PG&E. And then somebody wants to help, but that doesn't fix why they need their PG&E paid. God wants to fix that. Let me give you a quick example of that. My son sent me some videos on Saturday of them camping, and I saw my granddaughters, and then they went from camping to a hotel. I'm thinking, man, I wish you'd have been my dad, because all that we did was go camping. I would like to go to a hotel and go to the beach. And he laughs. And after I got done, I was real sad, because I thought, man, I missed my granddaughters. And the next morning I got up after I got out of the shower, and I was looking out the window, and I was just praying. I said, Lord, I wish you would put on Al's heart, you know, to make an attempt to come back over here. It'll be 2 years this summer. And I said, I would just really love to see them. I know I can go there, but usually I just go, Linda doesn't. But I'd like all of us as a family to be together. That afternoon, he calls me. He says, hey, Pop, I want to run something by you. We're thinking about coming out there this June, and we want to run some dates by you. And I'm like,
it was just like that. Oh, I didn't even know he was struggling.
God.
You didn't tell me.
No.
I
just went to the window, looked outside, looking at the deer, and I cried to God. I said, Lord, you know what I have need of. You do. And then he did. So we're working. And then I get word 2 days ago that, well, we're coming June 14th, Flag Day, June 14th through the 18th, because we want to be there for Father's Day. I'm like, wow, thank you, God. I mean, so info prayers. See, we're giving, the reason why Lynn and I say this, because we're giving God information on what the situation is as if he was clueless to them. Yeah. See, doesn't the Bible say that God knows what you have need of before you even ask, right?
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't want, you know, anyone to think Lynn and I are critical of anyone's prayers. And, you know, don't be mistaken. But what I am saying is, where does the power of prayer come from if it's not from the Holy Spirit? See, we can gibber and jabber all day long. We can have a monologue with, or a monologue with God where we're the ones that's saying everything. He wants us to pray in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit means you're going to be listening for what the Spirit is telling you to pray. But, you know, seriously, has anyone else besides me ever been in a situation where you felt like you didn't even know what to pray or how to pray, right?
Yeah.
It, the idea when the words, sometimes when they're hard to come by, if you're taking notes, Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. In the midst of your just hardest time, you don't even have words, and you just sit there and like, oh, God. He even knows what that is. See, because he knows every language, right? I mean, he knows what those groanings are. These groanings, it said, are prayed for us by the Holy Spirit so that God understands them. Sometimes our words are just useless. So when you say, I don't even know what to pray, so I just groan, you know? He understands that. Verse 27 of Romans 8 says, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. I like that. It's like we are praying because he knows what we need. And he's working that in and through us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to pray what God's will desires for us. Sometimes we don't even know. We could just... Have you ever had this occasion where you're praying for a specific thing because of what you're dealing with? I'm praying for just this thing, and you go off in a tangent of all kinds of other things that you weren't even thinking of. That's the Holy Spirit working in and through you. So because I've shared all that, why do we feel the need to give God information in our prayers? He already knows them. He knows everything about us. You've heard me say many times that there's nothing that comes into our life that's not first sifted through his hands. He sees it, and it comes down through us. It's in his hands first.
Now,
yeah.
I hope I'm not alone in this.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we can, I think it's easy sometimes to not be honest with God in our prayers. Because we, you know, I've had occasions where I felt I was supposed to pray for a certain thing when the truth was my heart really wasn't in it.
Right, right.
And then I find myself going off into something else,
right,
that really kind of reveals what really was on my heart.
Right.
You know, because you feel, you know, well, this person needs prayer, so I'm supposed to pray for them, but yet you really aren't. You know, and so you sort of try to do it mechanically.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then you're like, wait, that, and God knows. That's the thing, is I think God, he knows,
yeah,
whether your heart is really, you're really wanting to pray for that person, or if you're just doing it because you're supposed to.
Yeah. So you can check the box.
Yeah.
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 And tell them that I prayed before, yeah, you. Right.
Yeah. And so it's easy to try to fool yourself even.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You're right.
In your prayer.
You're right.
When God, like he says, searches the heart. He knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
What it is that's truly on your heart.
Yeah.
Deep in there. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right, Danny.
I think with that kind of pulls in the
monologue.
Dialogue.
Yeah.
Because I think in prayer there needs to be that silence.
Yeah.
Where God can check your heart.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we don't want to hear that. Because if I don't want to pray for somebody, I know I'm supposed to, so I will. But he could be that silence, the Holy Spirit could come in and begin to work on our, check our heart.
Well, yeah, I think so those are the times that he makes us face what's really on our heart.
Exactly.
What's really in there.
What happens when you're praying for something specific, and I feel guilty? I say, you know what, God, forget that. There's so much other important stuff going on in the world. I know you're busy, so never mind what I just said, because it's just selfish, yeah, and silly.
Yeah, or you don't think it's as important as,
yes,
somebody that just lost a loved,
right,
one or something,
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Going through a horrible, yeah, tragedy.
It's kind of, that's kind of like almost the Holy Spirit right then and there is bringing perspective into us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he still would want us to pray for that need, even if it's for ourselves.
Doesn't he also want us to have such an intimate relationship,
yes,
with him that he treasures even those little, you know, I pray that I walk across the floor and I don't stub my toe, Lord.
Yeah.
Watch
yeah,
my,
yeah,
toe, it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he
yeah,
wants us to be so intimate with him.
Yeah.
That he delights in those.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Do you think that we can put degrees to needs, but maybe necessarily God doesn't necessarily?
Give
know
me an example. Like,
I don't know, maybe somebody's need, in my eyes, is a lot more than mine, but to him, my need is just as important.
Yeah.
Does that make,
yeah,
sense?
Well, I think, because he said in Philippians, let your request be made known to him. And the peace of God, you know, will overshadow you. And so it really doesn't matter. I think when we have that communion with him, immediately if the Holy Spirit, especially if we're praying in the Spirit, he will direct us on what is selfish and what isn't, see? But yet we still can ask things for ourselves. Why? Because like Sherry said, he delights when his kids come to him and have a need. Like I shared with you with my son. Who in here of us, of our kids, if they needed us and they came to us and said, I need your help. Can you help me? We're not going to sit there and go, figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
We're like, oh man, I'm so thankful that you, I mean, my son asked me, hey, Pa, how do you get your grass so green? I'm like, well, let me show you how. He asked me, you know, it's like, and so, but how many in here feel that it doesn't seem to matter whether I pray or don't pray? It just seems to always be the same. Anyone ever feel that way? Sometimes we can think, well, God really didn't answer my prayers last year, so why should I pray? I remember one time a gentleman, he told me, he says, you know, I just don't feel I need to pray. If God's already got his mind made up, how can I change his mind? I'm like, that's not the idea. The idea is that we come in contact with his will for our lives. Because if you don't ask anything, he says, well, I guess you're okay. You think you're okay. You got it all down. Come to me when you need me.
What would someone like that make of the persistent widow?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Kept bugging,
yeah, just
the master,
kept on.
And finally the master relents, said, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I see you're serious about
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Maybe sometimes God wants to see how serious we are about what we're asking.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, sometimes when you talk about those who feel that there's really no need to pray, or I don't even know how to pray, could it be because we've been relying on our model of prayer, meaning what we picked up along the way and not the Holy Spirit directing us? A lot of what we come in contact with praying is what we've heard other people pray. Has anybody ever been intimidated by somebody else's prayer while you're in a prayer meeting, right?
Yeah.
We're like, well, I'm not going to pray out loud because I don't want to fill in blank, right? And I guess people, they don't allow themselves to be able to let God direct and guide them. But there's sometimes where people can be critical of someone's prayer. We sometimes will say, well, I can't pray like them, so I'm just not going to pray out loud. But I have one question. Who is it that we're praying to? See, are we praying to that person? I want them to, you know, verify that, you know, I'm worthy of praying out loud. Right? God doesn't think of any of that. He just likes to hear when we come to him. Do we desire to be people of praying the way the Holy Spirit wants us to pray? That's a good question. And to be led by his words, to be directed by him. That's what our hearts need. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to pray in the Spirit because I want to know what the Spirit has for me to be able to pray. James 5:17, he says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently. That word means really passionately and enthusiastically. Anybody been excited in their prayer? Oh, Lord, here we go.
You betcha.
And that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. If you really want to see a miracle, pray that here in Oregon. See what happens.
God would say, line up your prayer to my will.
That would be some serious prayer, especially this time of year, right? It's like,
where's the scripture now that says the fervent
prayer
of
a righteous
man
avails
much.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where it is, but yeah, you're right.
I mean, fervent, that's
yeah.
The idea that
exactly.
You are serious about it.
Exactly.
You don't
and it goes back to what you were saying. God already knows whether we're serious or not about this, or are we just going through the motion?
Yeah.
Lord, bless all the people in China. Really, what do you really mean by that? Okay. Lord, bless Congress.
You almost choked on that one.
Al, doesn't God want us to open the door to be able talk to him to where he understands what it is that we're asking him?
Oh, that's a good question, Kay. And
I'm
so,
sorry, I didn't hear.
Go ahead and repeat it. Doesn't he want us?
Doesn't God want us to open, say, my door is open, God, this is what I am asking or talking about. Isn't he wanting you to do that to where he knows what you're really wanting and not something else?
He knows exactly what you want, and he knows exactly what you're thinking when you want it. How do I know that? Jesus, when he was amongst the Pharisees that we saw a couple of weeks ago, they're talking amongst each other about what they're going to do to him. He says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, right?
Right.
So he knows, but what happens is he's getting us in a position where our will is the same as his, and we're able to pray according to his will. Does that make sense?
Right.
Very good. Well, that was the verse before this one.
It's kind of like a child who needs something, you know, needs a new pair of shoes.
Yeah.
And they need to open that door to say, I need them. Dad already knows he needs them, but he wants that open communication.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, here's when on that line, what is God calling us to pray for in our lives, in our homes, maybe in our fellowship here at Fort Hill or Sheridan or Lapine, or does it even matter? Have you ever thought, Lord, what do you have for us here? What do you have? Why am I here in Willamina on Fort Hill? Why am I here, Lord? And what is it that you want me to do? Am I just here to enjoy, you know, the perils of labor? Or is there something he has for me? Well, if I don't even think about that, I'm not even going to ask. But he's wanting us to ask, what is he doing? And, you know, don't feel defeated at this juncture of the study. If you feel, man, I don't even know how to pray or what to pray for, I would say be encouraged, because he's asking us. And there's a reason why we're going through this. Some may be thinking, I didn't even know I was supposed to pray in the Spirit. You see, because what happens a lot of times in certain denominations, that gets so clouded with other things, see, praying in the Spirit. You know, you're going to have to run around a room and speak mumbo jumbo, and, you know, and that's not it at all. It's just getting alone with him. Jude, verse 20, I almost said chapter 1. Jude 20 says, but you, dear friends, must continue to build your lives on the foundation of your holy faith and continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. Jude, verse 20. Jude is telling him you need to direct your lives to this, and you need to pray as you're directed by the Holy Spirit. Well, it's not always that I sit there and I remember, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to pray in this? It's easy to do. I'll tell you this right now. It's easy to do in a counseling session. Somebody will come, send in before me, telling me everything that you're going on, and the Holy Spirit is right there telling me what's going on with them and what to pray for them for. And there's been times when I've even prayed for them while they were talking, and they had no knowledge of it. That's the Holy Spirit wanting to get to the nitty-gritty of what someone's problem is. See, because a lot of times they'll come in and just tell me what I need to hear, right? So tell me, what is it that God is hearing? That's what I want. Otherwise, I can't direct you the right way. My desire is to get you hooked up with him and not dependent on me, see? That's why I don't believe in counseling session after counseling session after counseling session for the same thing. Get you to a place to understand that God wants to speak to you. Is there something in your life that's hindering that? Because the truth of the matter is, folks, they're no different than me. I'm just like them. The difference is the receiver is turned on. Their receiver is turned way down, and they don't hear what God is saying. He wants to convict a certain part of their life. Dang.
Well, it seems that there's sort of a set way that we get there.
Yes.
So, you know, we need to be so in tune, for lack of a better word, with the Holy Spirit that God has given us, that we know how to pray.
Yeah.
But before we can even be there, we have to do what Jesus tells us in Luke 11:13, mm-hmm. where he's talking about fathers giving their son a fish or a stone.
Yeah.
But then he ends that by saying, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit
right.
to those who ask?
Right.
So the first step is to be seeking that Holy Spirit
right.
to seek him, because once you have him,
yes,
the other stuff will fall in place. He will let you know.
Yeah.
But if I don't have him,
yeah,
then I'm probably always going to be flailing around as to, you know, what am I supposed to do here?
Yeah. You know? Exactly right. You know, it's not to attack any denomination, but I hear people from the Mormon church pray. Who are they praying to? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, and you know what? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the the Holy Spirit that we talked about last week, Him indwelling in our lives, dwelling there, then who are you praying to? Well, they say Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's just the plain facts, okay? And so a lot of times, it's like Danny said, there is no model for prayer. When we're praying in the Spirit, we are just praying what God has given us through the Holy Spirit. And you're lifting something up. Why? Because He knows the explicit need. He knows it. You might even hear someone pray and you might feel, well, gosh, I can't pray like them, so I better not, right? Because you don't want anybody to hear your prayer. You don't want others to hear your prayer, which means God doesn't get to hear. Well, I'll pray later, right? And a lot of times you have to ask yourself, what part of the body are you? Are you an undercover agent in the body of Christ? You know, I'm not willing. There are so many people that deal with things that each and every one of us deal with in Christ. Fear, you know, whatever it is in prayer. And I believe that many have not learned to pray or are afraid to pray because they haven't taken the time to learn how to. Where do I get that from? Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Listen how the literal translation reads that. Through all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit, and watching to the same thing with all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. You pray for everyone at that time. Pray for those that are around you. Pray for those that are in need. We should not always just be praying for those that, you know, that are not able to help themselves. You pray for those, I mean, pray for me. I need prayer. You know, Danny needs prayer. We all need prayer, right? But I think the mistake is sometimes people say, well, they don't seem like they, you know, they got it together. They don't really need any prayer. Could you honestly say, well, no, I'm going to rephrase that. I bet we could honestly say, even when we share our distress, nobody really knows how deep it is. Would you agree with me? Because we don't tell people, dude, I am hurting so bad, right? But God knows that. But if we let one another know, we're going to be praying for them. That's why we talked earlier about grief share. That's why it allowed us to come and to pray for those that are going through that at that time. That took up most of our prayer life because that's what the need was. You know, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to pray for them. Somebody was going to ask, Sherry, would you ask a question?
Oh, I was just thinking of I'm not even sure what I'm questioning.
Yeah.
But I just have to put it out there. He tells us how to pray. You pray like this.
Mm-hmm.
But then we don't have to pray like that to open the door.
Well, when Jesus tells us, but when he says pray like this, he's not saying you have to pray those exact words every time. He says
right.
In this manner,
yeah.
In other words, like this. Always acknowledging God first, you know, in that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Matter of fact, that's the end of the study. If you want me to close it right now, I can.
Oh, no.
You're gonna hear it again. But that's the model of prayer that Jesus is actually giving. That is, and if you guys have heard that, been here for any length of time, we've gone through this. We call it the ACTS prayer, ACTS, the model of prayer, adoration. Confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We come before God. What he said, he told the disciples, this is how you pray. Our Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are adoring him. You're bringing adoration to him first. Think about this for a moment, especially us now that our kids are grown. Isn't it nice if they at least call you and say, hey, Mom, Dad, how you doing? How things going? Been thinking about you. How's your Bible study going? Or whatever. It's so much nicer if they do that versus say, hey, well, I'm glad you picked up. Do you think you could help me financially? What? What about a high or something, you know? How about at least asking how I'm doing? Would you like to know how I'm doing? I love that.
Except when they're little and they come out and say, Mom, you look so pretty. And you know
yeah, yeah, yeah. By the time they get to the word looks, you got the purse open. So adoration, confession, because we want to make sure our hearts are right with him, right? If we're going to be in a true form of prayer, I mean, at least confess, you know, whatever is between you and him. Thanksgiving, and then supplication. Here, Lord, here's what my need is. Although you really know what I have need of.
So that, then all of those are in praying in the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The Holy, because the Holy Spirit is directing us. He's like, don't forget, you know, who are you praying to? See? You're praying to the God of the universe,
God Almighty,
the Creator, Lord. And there's, it's no secret. I mean, and that's why through our, all of our studies in the last year, it's getting to know who God is, right? We did that, especially through the Holy Spirit study. When we were in 1 John, we emphasized that over and over and over, you know, who he is. Now, praying in the Spirit is not, as I said, there is some formula in how to pray. It is merely waiting on the Spirit to speak through us. I can tell you, if you want to just get a good example of that, take some time, sit down with the Lord, just mark it out, sit down with the Lord, get a piece of paper, and just open with adoration and confession. And then just start writing down what comes to mind. I guarantee you, you're going to have a connection with them. I went to a pastor's conference for the first year I was here in Oregon, in Corvallis. And we had a breakout session where they said, I want you all to go out by yourselves and take your notepad and go. And I want you to spend some time with the Lord and just journal what he shows you. Over and over and over, it was about my relationship with Linda. Everything was about my relationship. And I thought it was okay. But he was showing me places where I needed to work on, you know. You're getting snippy in some places. You know, you're not thinking about this. And I'm sitting there going, what about me? You know, it's like, you got something for me? Yeah, I've just had you write it all down. And everything will go well with you. See, we can lose sight of that sometimes because we take for granted how things are going. We can do it on both sides. But put that in any relationship, maybe at church, you know, maybe at neighbors and stuff like that. You guys got a great little thing going on over there in that complex. It's really neat to see what God is doing and what he wants to do. See, as you continue to pray, the people that you're reaching, you did something for Janice and it's like, whoa, or for Sandra. That isn't just you, Kay. That's the Holy Spirit working in and through you because of something he wants to do there. It's just awesome to see. But praying in the Spirit is not some formula. And too often, we're too busy in our minds to worship and just sit and to listen to the Holy Spirit. And we just speak to whatever comes to mind. Rather than just sitting there, Lord, what would you have me to pray for today? You know my needs already, and I'll get to those. But bring to mind those who really need a touch from you right now. You know, many times people are afraid to pray what the Spirit is showing them. To pray because they don't want it to sound menial. Well, that's just, you know, that's a no-brainer. Well, you can do that. And what generally happens is prayers become orchestrated. And like Danny was saying earlier, do you know that he already knows an orchestrated prayer before we pray it? He does. And then he's going to pray this, and he's going to pray that, and then he's going to ask me this. Because he realizes our hearts are not connected to that. We feel as though they need to flow, and then we feel somehow that we have to say something. Just spend time with him and let him speak in and through you. If in fact, I love what Paul says, if in fact the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. I don't know that. So he gives us the answer. If in fact he does, this is what he's going to do. You can call upon it. See, it's about speaking to God through the Holy Spirit, communing with him and hearing what he has to say. We don't take time for that. Why? Life, busy, we'll use Lorelei's. Moving takes every ounce of every energy that you have. And we will still fret. Earlier today, when I started at 9 o'clock this morning. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm like, God, direct, okay, time. I'm like, how do you do this? How does a woman keep track of what goes in when and when it comes out? And my big fear was I was going to burn it, you know? But so I had to pray, Lord, I'm not going to falter in this. These are your people, and you want them to eat a good meal.
You'll throw it back on him.
There you go. See, The disciples were witnesses to Jesus praying, but that's not all. They saw him do the miracles all through prayer. They didn't ask him to show them how to heal people after Pentecost, did they? All they asked him was, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to pray like you. Well, they couldn't pray like him at that time. Why? They were indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And that's why he told them, go and wait. So obviously they were listening to some of the things that Jesus had taught them in those 3 years because they prayed when they were in that upper room. I can just imagine when they were shook up and in this place that we're speaking about. And for those 40 days, they had remembered what he said in Luke 18:1. And then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Don't lose heart in your prayer. Praying for your grandchildren to come to the Lord, don't lose heart. I've shared with you before, the person that the Lord gave me to pray when I first came to know the Lord was a guy, and he was my sergeant in SWAT. He was a nasty, mean guy, just horrible. And I would pray for him for 2 years, and then I stopped. I lost heart. I said, but I didn't just abandon. I said, Lord, you're going to have to come here yourself and pray for him. He's incorrigible, God. There's no way. 6 months later, Jerry came to know the Lord. I had already stopped. How many of you know that God doesn't stop just because we do? He wanted him saved. And so here in Acts, now we see the disciples doing what they had learned from the Messiah. They were praying. They weren't strategizing. They were not bouncing ideas off of each other. They're not like some board meeting, like, what do you think? What do you think? I remember when I first got here, they wanted to do that. Well, let's pray about what God would have us to do. Like it was foreign, you know, let's pray. We first built the church in Los Baños. We had prayer 4 months every Sunday at 5 o'clock. It was prayer. If you wanted to come to the house, you could come and pray. After 4 months, I was asked, so when are we ever going to have a Bible study? When we're done praying. God will tell us when we're going to start. And the rest was history. They weren't talking about having a dynamic fellowship. They were just praying. Look at chapter 2 while you're there in Acts. Chapter 2, verse 1. We'll go through verse 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance to them. That's just all of them were speaking. They were praying, and then while they were praying, the Holy Spirit comes and overtakes their prayers. There's a couple of things that actually happened here that on the surface we could miss if we're not careful. Number one, the church is birthed in a prayer meeting, just like Los Baños. We couldn't do anything until the Lord birthed it, and it came from a prayer meeting. Number two, a curse had been lifted from the days of Genesis. You guys know what that curse was, Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. You know what, let's turn there real quick, and then I'm going to end this, because I'm already see I'm going to have to split this up in two studies. The Lord's even taught me some things, Sherry. I know when you say, oh, the Lord's teaching us along the way. Man, when I had 10 pages, I get through it. Doesn't matter. But with the interaction, it takes a little bit more time. So what happens? To me, that's more fruitful for you guys. So it doesn't matter what Al wrote down or what the Lord gave me in that. It's what he's given the people to give. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Somebody want to read that for me?
About as they journeyed east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used bricks for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad all over the earth, all over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. come, let us go down in their confuser language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. To 11?
Yeah.
These are the records of the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and the father of 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived 500 years after he became the father of Arpachshad. And he had other sons and daughters.
Amen. Amen. We're going to pick up in that next week. The purpose that I want us to hear from there is they were all one people. They had one language, and they were getting a little bit too big for their britches. They were beginning to think that they could do things that they didn't even need God. And I love going back that what happened during this time in Acts was the opposite, as we read. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. He could actually begin to work in and through them now, through the Holy Spirit. And that's why the church was born. And it's important for us to know, and we'll finish up next week, when we look at what God is doing and why he wants to do it, we're totally connected to him. We don't have an agenda anymore. Lord, what do you have? What do you want me to pray for? You know what's really interesting? Because this thing's going to die on me real quick, and I know the battery's going to die. But when you take that piece of paper and you allot that time just to sit with him, just open your Bible, read, you know, whatever he brings to your heart. And I guarantee you, all hell's going to break loose around you. The phone's going to ring. People are going to come by. I've had people, my phone never rings at these times. And the moment I get ready to read his word, the phone rings. That's just the weirdest thing. But spending time with him. And you know what I love about that? God is even better than you and I when it comes to when our kids spend time with us. If it's just a minute, we love it. The fact that you came just blesses me. And so spend some time with him, whatever he directs and guides you in. And then we'll talk about that next week. Matter of fact, let's all commend some time this week just to sit there and do that. And just write down what it is that the Holy Spirit is showing you. And take some time to listen to him, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our time. We thank you for all that you have for us, Lord. And we are so...